This is Nowhere in Mulberry.
Is there no one here mad enough to stay in the ring for 3 minutes with this titan of testosterone? I know the Flying Dutchman!
The Flying Dutchman!
Will the guard please lock the cage doors at this time?
Hey, listen! It's some kind of mistake! I didn't sign up for a cage match! Hey! Unlock the thing! Take the chain off!
Hey, Freak Show! You're going nowhere! I got you for 3 minutes! 3 minutes of lead time!
I answer any more questions. There's something I wanted to say. I having received all your letters over the years, and I've spoken to many of you, and some of you have traveled, you know, hundreds of miles to be here, I'd just like to say... Get a life, will you, people? I mean, for crying out loud, it's just a TV show. I mean, look at you. Look at the way you're dressed. You've turned an enjoyable little job that I did as a lark for a few years into a colossal waste of time. I mean, how old are you people? What have you done with yourselves? You must be almost 30. Have you ever kissed a girl?
One. Mm-hmm. All right, that's good. It's hard to trace, I guess.
Wait, you changed your name to McLovin? McLovin?
What kind of a stupid name is that, Fogel? What, are you trying to be an Irish R&B singer?
Have you actually ever met anyone named McLovin?
It doesn't even have a first name. It just says McLovin.
What? One name? One name? Who are you, Seal?
Fogel, Zygy says you're 25 years old. Why wouldn't you just put 21, man?
How many 21-year-olds do you think there are in this town?
It's gonna work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible. I mean, it's up to you, Fogel. This guy's either gonna think here's another kid with a fake ID, or here's McLovin, the 25-year-old Hawaiian organ donor. Okay, so what's it gonna be?
I am McLovin.
We need something more. We need a 24-hour-a-day police officer. A cop who doesn't need to eat or sleep. A cop with superior firepower and the reflexes to use it. Fellow executives, it gives me great pleasure to introduce you to the future of law enforcement. Ed 209. Dr. McNamara.
We'll need an arrest subject.
Mr. Kinney.
Yes, sir.
Would you come up and give us a hand, please?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Kinney is going to help us simulate a typical arrest and disarming procedure. Mr. Kinney, use your gun in a threatening manner. Point it at Ed 209.
Yes, sir.
Please put down your weapon. You have 20 seconds to comply.
I think you'd better do what he says, Mr. Kinney.
You now have 15 seconds to comply. You are in direct violation of Penal Code 113, Section 9. You now have 5 seconds to comply. 4, 3, 2, 1. I am not authorized to use physical force.
Oh,
try to initiate release sequencer. On my mark.
Five.
We're on express elevator to hell. Going down.
Two. One. Mark.
Everybody, it's me, the J-Strom, here from the Pop Culture District of Mulberry. Episode 89 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Oh my god, we're almost to 90. 89 of Nowhere in Mulberry, the, what would you call it, the film, television, podcast, commentary, radio show type thing on Talk Radio X, plus on your iPods MP3 players. How was that? Is that good?
That sounds good.
That was a mouthful, wasn't it?
Yeah.
How about the weekly podcast commentary of film, television, and pop culture?
Sure.
And the co-hosts are, hey, we're all equal hosts here. There's me, the J-Strom. There's Steven, the pop culture zealot. How you doing, Steven?
Doing good, thanks.
We also have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian. How you doing, Bill?
Hello, I'm good, thank you.
Now, Vanessa was supposed to join us today, but she's still missing. We put out an ABB. The FBI is looking for her. We have no idea where she is. We're very worried. Right, Bill?
Yeah.
Tell him to check very on the convincing, local gym, Bill. Gymnasium.
So very worried.
No, guys, I got some sad news. I gotta admit I'm bummed. I was going to say the award-winning Nowhere in Mulberry, but alas, we have won no award. No laptop desk for us, Steven.
No laptop. We could say the nominated.
Yeah, the nominated People's Choice Best Entertainment nomination. That sounds pathetic, though. I mean, I felt like Eddie Murphy. I stormed out of the ceremony. I was just like, I went to the restroom. I never came back. Because
damn it! I deserved an Oscar for Norbit.
And it's not that I have anything against any of the other nominees in our category, but the winner who won, it was a Lost podcast. And come on, built-in audience. You know, they talk about Lost. So, built-in Lost audience. People who like Lost. Hey, I'm going to look up Lost podcast. Do we need to change our name to our show? Because we talk about Lost every week when it's on the air. We talk about Battlestar Galactica every week, Heroes, Smallville. We talk about all those shows. Wear huge brown coats. Well, that's a lie. Where we like Serenity.
We're
like
coats.
Firefly. We established that last week, right, Bill?
Yeah. We're tan coats.
Yeah, we're tan coats. We're kind of on the border, the cusp. But the thing is, if we tied our hands and said, let's do a Smallville cast, what would we have to talk about right now?
Well, then you're limiting yourself to the 20-30-minute podcast.
Nowhere in Mulberry is the show of everything. We talk about any show, every show. Like, for instance, the new Flash Gordon on Sci-Fi. I'm choosing not to talk about it because...
Yeah, exactly.
I think the best headline I read about it was, Flash Gordon reeks of Uranus. That was the best headline I wrote. But you know what? I got kind of a Smallville vibe from it. I'm going to say that right now.
I saw an episode last Saturday, and it wasn't...
Cheesy. Was it as bad as Smallville? I mean...
No.
It was worse.
No, it wasn't even as bad.
The cheesy level equal the movie cheese?
What I want to know, okay.
No.
There's
no.
All these shows, BSG, I don't know, Dresden Files,
I'll
Stargate, they're all in friggin' Vancouver. How do they not bump into each other?
It's the same level as Stargate.
I mean, how does Flash Gordon not all of a sudden wander, oh crap, I'm on the Stargate set. Oh, sorry, my bad.
I'm in Atlantis now.
Do they all share the same, like, set pieces?
Yeah.
And the thing is, Flash Gordon, they have this portal thing. I'm getting a Stargate vibe from it.
It's more, actually, it's more like Sliders.
Ooh, yeah.
It has that ripply effect. Holy. Wow.
But I'm going to say, like, if we didn't do Nowhere in Mulberry, if we did, a Firefly podcast, we couldn't talk about Flash Gordon just now.
Why don't we just go back in time and do a Sliders podcast, dude?
Well, we are. We're also going to discuss slider recipes, like what would Jerry O'Connell make if he was sliding between dimensions, like a quick snack. In fact, I have an idea. We're changing the name of Nowhere in Mulberry, you guys. I've already done the name change, and I want to know what you guys think. I put together a new theme, and we'll just run with it. Let's do our first ever podcast.
Sliding through Mulberry?
Yeah, it has nothing to do with Sliders. Damn. Sorry. Sliders is just too old. Firefly is as far back as we'll go. Let's check it out. The Battlestar Galactic Browncoat Lost Cast, starring Joss Whedon and J.J. Abrams, with your host, the J-Strom, Steven, the pop culture zealot, and Serenity Bill, the Battle of Serenity Valley historian, and Vanessa, our browncoat newswoman. Now, here's the show! Shiny! Hey, everybody! Welcome to our Big Damn Goram podcast. Welcome to the show. How's it going, Serenity Bill?
Big damn Goram.
It's excellent, except I lost my arm in that horrific battle.
Yes, and Steven, you keep bothering me about the Dharma Initiative, but before we get to that, I have some interesting theories about Lost, Alias, and what other shows do we talk about?
That's it.
There's just so many. I would call us, we're Browncoat / Caperkin / Whedonite, Abramites. I'm just confused about the whole thing, but what do you guys think about this? Arvin Sloan and Alvar Hanzo, same guy. What do you guys think about that?
Wow, that's deep.
I think I'm on to something here. Now,
you know what? He might be the fifth.
I get what you're saying. He's the other Cylon.
He's the last Cylon.
I think we're on to something. Now, Bill, you had a big Goram week. How's it going? You were very excited. You said you came up with a new brown coat recipe for brownies. So now, what's that about?
Yes, Goramific.
Shiny.
Yes, shiny indeed. Ching Chong Bing Du Wong. It's made out of the special chocolate from the Serenity Valley that's mined from the rocks there.
Oh, you know, I have an interesting email from someone here. It says, by the way, it reminds us all, be sure and write to Universal because the contracts are expiring for the Serenity cast, the Firefly cast, Nathan Fillion. Their contracts will soon be expiring and we'll never get a Serenity sequel. Oh, no. God, we've got to write those guys, you guys. Okay. We got to get our votes.
The thought makes my heart hurt.
Would you guys do anything to get another Serenity sequel?
I would.
Would you beat a baby seal with a club, Steven?
I would, yes.
Well, it's funny you say that because I have a baby seal here. Beat it, Steven! You said you would do anything. Kill it! Kill that seal! Oh, God, it's horrible! But it's necessary because we want a sequel to Serenity. Now, Bill, would you smother your grandmother with a pillow to get another Serenity?
Please, yes, I would.
Smother her! Kill her! Do it! It's necessary!
It's done.
She's dead. Hey, we're closer to a Serenity sequel.
Okay, Jason.
Now, what would you do? To Universal?
You know what I would do? I'm going to jump off this cliff here. Will you guys follow me, please?
I'm flying!
It's all for you, Joss Whedon!
Lemmings!
Yeah, right.
Lemmings. So that's an example of what our new show will be like. We'll wait and see and get feedback.
I like
see
the
what
big
they think.
Goram show.
Yeah, I like it. I don't know. It sounds like a good idea to me. Maybe we should do it. We'll definitely win that. Because another thing is the Hollywood Saloon, they got beat by Firefly Talk. Because it was funny because Andy even said, we're going to get beat by Firefly Talk because that's what they do. So if we're this huge, huge ass brown coat, lost cast, BSG cast, I think we'll do well.
We'll take over the world.
Yes, we'll get all the votes. Now, we got a voicemail from a listener. Let's check it out.
Hey, Mulberrians. It's Wiley from the Hollywood Saloon Forums. How you guys doing? Awesome show last week. Some great guests. I had a question. Had any of you checked out that Flash Gordon remake?
That's funny. You should say
that. There was a DVD that they put out. It had the first two episodes. They were selling it for like $15, which is, I don't know, the most retardedest pricing ever. Anyway,
retardedest.
Just curious if you had seen it.
Yes, it is.
And I was wondering if you guys knew the answer to this question. Where's Vanessa? Oh yeah, I talked to her the other day. She was in Annapolis women's prison, and she wanted her precious fudge, meat fudge, chocolate.
Is that Cookie Monster?
Cookie! Ah, yum, 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 yum. Yeah, well, Vanessa, she will...
she's in a women's prison?
Annapolis women's
she's
prison.
She's escaped from prison recently, so she'll be on her way soon, I think. What do you guys say we get into entertainment? We have a lot to talk about.
Let's do it,
Steven. We have a big Goram show. Bill, we went and saw it last night. We saw Superbad.
You bastards.
It was fun.
I had tickets for Friday, but I just couldn't make it.
You know, it's a very, would you say, it's a dirty, filthy, naughty comedy in the vein of the 80s, I would say.
Yeah.
You know, I noticed during the beginning of the film, they show full frontal nudity on a magazine, and they're talking very sexually explicit. And I noticed a couple get up with their two children and, like, immediately leave. It's like, what did you think the movie was going to be? It's rated R.
It's an R-rated comedy. What the f*** wrong with you?
I know.
I don't guess I noticed that.
Oh, I did. I was like, oh, they're getting up in a hurry. Because they were talking about jizz. They're just talking about, just all this stuff. And, you know, someone's sitting there like, oh, my God, I got to get out. I can't get out of the theater fast enough. My ears.
What was the vag-tastic voyage?
Yeah.
That was
the very beginning of the movie, he's talking about this great website he found that they piss on people, they shit on people. I could just see some old lady like, oh, my God, I got to get out of here. But the movie is crazy. I just love it. Love it. And, you know who you're going to love the most just from the commercials is McLovin. He's just such a great character.
Yeah, he was fun.
And the best thing about this movie is that the three characters, you know, two main characters and then McLovin, they're all hopeless nerd dorks. Just like normal people. It's not jock dudes or anything like that.
And the weird thing is that the cute chicks actually like them. It should have been nerd chicks, you know, that were kind of cute.
Well, you know, I think a lot of times when you reflect back on your childhood, you had these cute girlfriends that hung out with you and talked to you and stuff, but you didn't have any self-confidence to think, hey, maybe she could like me for that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
right.
And what's great is these guys are buddies enough to push each other in a direction. Like, dude, you need to talk to her. And I love the one guy. He's like, dude, you could nail her. Like, what are you talking about? I've never even kissed her. It's like, you could go all the way. But it's one of those get laid type of comedies. It's just silly. And I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's, you know, I was watching some reviews on it. They were talking about, you know, it's like, hey, this isn't, it's a kids movie, but it's not for kids. It's for adults.
Right. It's totally for adults reflecting back on high school years.
Yeah.
You know, it's the kind of movie I would have seen as a teenager, 15 or 16, but I would have had to sneak in the theater. Or would have seen it on cable 100 times. Just like Bachelor Party, Tom Hanks. Saw that a million times on cable.
Oh, yeah.
And it's one of those kind of things that, you know, your parents wouldn't go, what the hell are you watching? But
no, I'm watching it with my dad.
And luckily, you know, I had a parent that didn't give a shit what we watched like that. But
yeah, same here.
My cousins, they couldn't watch Dallas, the TV show Dallas, because it had sexual relations, like them laying in a bed together. So it's like, what the f*** are you talking about?
They were allowed to watch, you know, like Nick at Night because they slept in different beds.
Yeah, it's so weird.
I remember being like 8 years old watching Benny Hill, you know.
But I could see if you're kind of a, you know, I'm not going to say...
A prude?
Yeah, but I could see how you would blush at certain parts of the movie if I was seeing it with my, like... You know, mother-in-law or something.
Oh, yeah.
But it's definitely a fun movie. I think everyone should go see it. I'm pretty sure everyone is. When we got there, there was no one in the theater. And I even commented to my wife. I was like, oh, man, this movie's going to bomb hard. There's no one in here. And like 5 minutes, the thing was friggin' packed. Like, Steven, cool. You showed up where you're like, well, you said the theater was empty. Yeah. Like, it was. They all came late. You know how kids are these days.
Well, the traffic was so bad, really. I mean...
Yeah, I call Steven at the last minute. I go, dude, we're going to see Superbad. Meet us at the theater at 7:15 if you want to go. And you're like, I just
you
got
said,
nachos.
You said meet at 7:15. It's not like...
And then you're like, at meet you? And I go, well, the movie starts at 7:15, so get there earlier. You're like, I just bought nachos.
I'm driving down the road trying to eat nachos.
Wait a second. Where did you stop and buy nachos?
He was getting nachos as I told him we were going to the movie, so he had already bought them.
There was a little Mexican joint in my town where I live, a little Mexican food joint.
You want to know what the funniest part of all that, Steven? While we're already sitting in a theater and you're getting nachos, you're not even close to the theater, and I hang up and Heather's like, where's Steven? And I was like, he's getting nachos or something. And she goes, that sounds good. Can you get me some nachos? And I was like, oh, okay. And so I went and got her movie nachos.
Movie nachos.
Delicious. I love
the fake cheese.
Yeah, what is that cheese made out of?
Yeah, I went
like
to get on the
rubber.
Went to get on the freeway, and it's just like stop and go. I mean, it wasn't even going. It was just stop.
Are you like, I'm not going to make the movie? And I swear it's...
But I can finish my nachos.
As soon as you sat down, the lights dimmed. That's how close you cut it. And, of course, then there was an hour of trailers, and you're like, you had another hour to get here, Steven.
Well, I knew I had at least 15 more minutes before the movie started.
But did you have to, put your jacket in the seat and go, I'm sorry, the seat's saved?
I put my wife's purse and saved a seat, actually.
Oh, well, that's smart. I'm sorry, this purse is saving the seat. Oh, a purse?
That's my purse. That's my man bag.
That's my man purse.
I got a special friend coming. But let's go ahead and get into what's on your TiVo. I recommend Superbad. Everybody see it, even little kids. Now, are you guys ever in the situation where you kind of doubt yourself, but you see an example of someone who's accomplished something that doesn't deserve it, and that helps empower you to where, hey, I could do this. For instance, maybe you're afraid that you won't be able to get a driver's license yet. Look at all the idiots at the DMV, that kind of thing. Like, if I ever doubt myself, like, could I ever do a show professionally, like we do this show, but I want to do it professionally as a job? I just watch Regis, and I know I can do this. This guy's been doing it for years, and the guy's friggin' insane, right?
And he's horrible.
Right. And for example, this week he was talking about a Britney. So basically, if you guys ever seen Regis, they go through the newspaper at the beginning of the show and drink coffee. They're like, look at this article right here. Look at this. And he holds it up for the audience. They're like, oh. So he's talking about this Britney story. And I was just like, do they prepare for this show? But it was very amusing. Regis.
Now, Britney is the latest one to make headlines. Apparently, she's on the OK magazine cover, fondling and cuddling with another young lady who was a former assistant of hers in the pool. For a minute, honest to God, I thought it was Rosie. The girl.
Britney?
Yeah. Not Britney, this one.
That's Britney. That one is Britney.
This is Britney, isn't it?
That is Britney there.
Oh, my God, it is. Britney Spears is a recreational lesbian.
They say, whoever they are.
Well, who is it?
Allegedly.
Like Gilman has
I'm just
chime
asking
in.
You right now. Has
it's
it
like
ever
we're liable.
To you? I have trouble saying.
I'll let you know. I'll let you know after my vacation.
I think my grandma's in the audience.
Yeah, recreational lesbian.
What's that? What's a lesbidasian? What's he talking about?
So one of those Eastern Asian types.
Good for her.
But I was just like, this show, do they have an editor? I guess it goes out live. They're just screwed.
Yeah, that's why
if his pills are working that day.
Allegedly.
I thought that was Mr. Mitzvah in the background.
The fact that we even know who Mr. Mitzvah, that's just wrong. The fact that we even know who that guy is in the background chiming in is... shows what decline our civilization is in.
Britney,
we know who
Spears is a recreational lesbian.
Yes, thank you very much. Now, guys, TV Land has brought us a lot of fantastic reality shows. There was that Mr. T one and some other stuff.
Treat your mother right.
But now there's this show called Back to the Grind, Have you ever heard of this? They get celebrities, or I guess TV celebrities from a long time ago, our childhood, and they place them, whatever their job was on the show they were on, say Poncherello, Eric Estrada was a Chips, California Highway Patrolman. They put him in the uniform and make him ride around with a cop like that, even though he was on another show as a cop. But like yeah. Mary Tyler Moore, she would be a reporter, etc. Well, I didn't even know this, but Bea Arthur on the Golden Girls, she was a teacher on that
yes,
show.
Yes, she was.
So what did they do? They put her in a modern-day high school classroom and told her, teach. And she was a little disoriented, but it's very hilarious.
Arthur.
How can she not be a man? I don't get it. Let's check it out.
Just quiet down, will you please? I'm teaching this class. Quiet. Quiet! Very well done. Very well done. And you did take it so-so. What is that you're doing?
Text messaging.
What?
I'm sending a message.
What? Listen, please. We don't need any distraction in this class. Put it away. I was maddened. Absolutely maddened.
We don't need any interruptions.
What the hell was that? Scary lady. Now, there's this other horrible show called Rock of Love with that one guy from Poison, Bret Michaels. You know, it's the same as Flava Flav show. A bunch yeah. of hoes.
Yes, but he's not that guy.
And for some reason, he has him playing tackle
Flavor
football.
Flavor of Love, Rock of Love.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Bret Michaels, he's got these women, and he wants them to play football in the mud, full-on tackling. And I don't know why. Here's a clip.
Heather hits like a bull. I mean, knocked down and dirty tackle football.
She's like the Mack truck.
We got blood over here.
Do you want to see the medic?
Are
you
sure?
My team's behind. The score is 2-1. This is our last chance. If we don't score now, it's over.
So they're playing by official.
Yeah,
2-1. Yeah, 2-1? Is that 14-7?
It's
getting good. Heather can't keep her clothes on in any event that we do. And before long, there she was, crawling around butt naked in the mud. It was a good sight to see.
Now, last comic standing. Everybody watching it?
I'm there.
They do this thing. Do they do this every year where they try to get someone to laugh, who like a nun or somebody serious?
Yeah, that might be new. I don't remember it.
Like they were making them try to make mysterious people. They walk in the room and they go, oh my god, who is this? And they got to make them laugh. And the first person is a scary transvestite eating a big banana. And then a nun.
Wouldn't that just make you laugh walking in there, big scary transvestite eating a banana?
Let's check it out.
Hi. I walk in the next booth and it's not a girl. It's girl-esque.
Oh. What are you doing?
Girl-esque. This is awkward.
Why?
I just generally, when a date pulls out a banana, it's not going
well,
so great.
I'll do it like this.
Oh, Lord. What are you doing after this?
I don't want to offend any brutally ugly transvestites that may be watching.
Brutally ugly?
I need votes, but woof.
And now I go into the next room.
Hi.
And it's a nun.
I'm Sister Rose.
Hi, Sister Rose. I've lost this challenge. So I might as well do the most inappropriate thing I could possibly do.
During the act of lovemaking.
Please.
I will actually warn the woman when I'm about ready to wrap it up.
Okay.
I'll whisper something romantic in her ear like, T minus 10 seconds, 9, 8, oops.
So, is that show coming back for another season after this?
I'm sure it
is. I mean, they can be huge. There's
gotta
be celebrities like
that.
Josh Blue, if they win.
You know, they had like
I think
Ant hosting this one.
Did they eliminate the British guy this week?
I have no idea.
See, I actually caught like 10 minutes of it, and then lost complete interest. I was wondering who.
This
left.
Was just so easy to forget. I always forget that it's on.
Bill,
yeah, I know.
We do know who won Hell's Kitchen. Let's check it out.
One.
Two.
Two.
Okay. And three.
Rough.
Jackson Brock. 80s
theme music. I wish Ramsey did make the right decision.
Show me that smile again.
First it's like a Bruckheimer film, and then it turns into...
Cook, and he has become a really good leader. He can motivate staff.
Leader.
He can create... All those qualities is not easy to find in one chef. Rock holds all of them.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for Hell's Kitchen winner, Rock!
All right, Rock! Did you agree with the winner this year, Bill?
Yeah, but there wasn't really that many good people this year.
Yeah, it was about 50-50. Really, I mean, it was like it could have gone either way.
Was it as entertaining as last season with Kate Grease and all that? It seemed kind of flat this year.
Well, the best part was the fainting gay Chinaman at the beginning.
How do you know he was gay?
Come on.
How do you know he was Chinese?
Yeah, exactly.
I thought he was a cowboy.
How do you know he was Chinese?
Okay, Asian. Asian.
Hey, it takes...
if he would have stuck around a little bit longer, then the little half-midget dude, Eddie.
Hey, Rosie.
Sure. Not actually tears coming out of my eyes.
How do you know he was Chinese?
Yeah, relax, I like relax, Eddie. Relax. Eddie wasn't around nearly enough.
Right, yeah. He was. He would have been a good comic banter.
Yeah, you could hear the chef going, "Come here, you little shit."
Just because I'm a little guy, I can do what the big guys can.
There's a sound drop for you.
I can't believe I'm crying. I'm cracking up right now.
I miss that guy. That was the guy who was the best thing about the season, wasn't
See?
He?
Yeah, especially whenever he fainted backwards into the cabinet and left this gigantic dent in it.
Now,
are you okay? No, I'm Chinese.
Should we even talk about... What
does that even mean?
Okay.
No. My favorite one was
I'm
when
a cowboy. I've got three strikes against me.
You well, try living in my world.
I'm cracking up.
When he was supposed to go out and serve, you know, help serve, you know, and what's
but
his name is telling him what
gay.
To do.
I mean, he's gay. Excuse
and he just
me,
goes
he's
into
blind.
This blank stare. He's He passes out standing up.
He's hyperventilating. Now, do we even talk about the two Coreys anymore, Steven? I'm still watching
it. I'm watching it. It's a train wreck.
Yeah. I have yet to see a single episode.
They're trying to help Corey Haim find love, and he's doing a dating service. Here's the dumbest part. They're trying to get Corey Haim out of the house on a date so they can have some sex. They keep talking about Corey Feldman's like, we haven't had sex in a long time or whatever. So it shows them they're getting down, they're making out, you know, we're finally alone. But you're not alone. There's a freaking camera crew in your living room. That's what's so stupid about it.
There's a camera crew guy with a gigantic boom mic.
He's got it over your bed. And then Corey Haim walks in and he goes, yeah, the date didn't go so well. And it's like, quack, quack, quack. And they're like, we didn't. It's just like they're not even trying to hide that it was staged.
Right. Why even bother airing the show?
I don't know, but it is fun to watch. I don't know why. Now, a show that's not staged, though, Big Brother. Am I right?
No, not at all.
And after last week's show and my big dick fiasco, we've had a submission of a song, and I thought you guys should hear it. What I love about pole. What I love about dick. What I love about dick.
That's what I like.
I love dick.
That's what I like.
What I love about dick. Dick. Thank you.
I like the karaoke track.
Now, who can you guess put that together for us?
I would have to say either Mick or Jim.
Yeah, Credo. Jim Lewis, Credo, submitted that to the show. Thank you, yeah. Credo.
Good old Credo.
Now, this week, last week we dealt with, you know, Evil Dick and Danielle totally getting screwed. They kept Eric, the weasel, America's Choice, in the house. He was screwed. Not to mention Jessica wins HOH, puts Dick and Danielle up. Dick wins the veto in a hilarious power veto competition where my favorite part about that, Bill, is when he won, you know, he keeps taunting them and he keeps calling Dustin Princess.
Princess, yeah.
But when after he wins it, he goes, "Thank you, Jesus," just to taunt Jamaica, who's always talking to God. And he's just, I mean, here's an example of how he's been making life hell for Amber and Jamaica and Dustin. But in this clip, he's trying to have a conversation with Jamaica, and it just shows how she doesn't have the faculties to really have an adult conversation. I mean, I'm not even sure you could have an adult conversation with Dick, but it shows she has no mechanisms to kind of conversate. She just repeats the same words over and over again, kind of like a Jerry Springer guest. Oh. You ain't all that. You ain't all that. You ain't all that. You know, that kind of thing. Let's check it out.
Yeah. Isn't it funny how I can be more honest than the people reading the Bible in the house?
That's your salvation, not mine. It has nothing to do with you. And by the way, I say nothing about you. No, because you got me started now. No. Because I say nothing about you not believing in Christ. I say nothing about you not believing in God. So don't bring that to me. Don't
bring
that
to me.
Don't bring that to me. That's on you. That's on you. So what?
Magic
what does that have to do with you? Nothing. So you keep my name
between you
out your mouth.
And God,
keep my name
and everybody
out your mouth.
Else
and
in
God
America.
Will have redemption.
I will do everything I possibly can to sacrifice myself and get these people to vote me out over Danielle.
What? That your redemption
so
is worthless.
Who's the liar now, bitch?
Me.
Who's the liar
I'm
now,
the liar.
Bitch? That's what I know. That's
is that what Jesus
know.
Would say
That's
to me? Bitch? Is that what he would call me?
Your mother's a bitch. Just like you don't
Whoa.
Know me. You don't
Just
know like my daughter.
This
know
is
me.
A very, very Christian thing.
Jesus Christ.
So it just goes on and on. He's making their life hell. And, you know, he was taunting Eric, too, the whole time. When he was staring at him, like, oh, I bet you want to take me down, don't you? You know, what did he say? Like, he was, like, you know, 4 foot tall midget or something. He was just talking about, what, he weigh 20 pounds? You know, oh, you want to kick my ass, don't you, right now, don't you? And he's just staring at him, not saying anything. But here's what happens. Eric gets called to the diary room. America's player. All right, America, who do you want me to vote out of the house? Hopefully it's Dick, because I can't stand... Oh, it's Dustin. You know what? I predicted this. I knew that America was going to do this. So what does he do? He knows his vote's going to count towards getting Dustin out of the house. He could either let everything go forward, Dick will end up staying, and they'll blame him for whatever... Blame him for keeping Dick in the house, and then he will be against his...
Are you saying people like Dick?
Yeah, people love Dick. And he would be against the whole house would hate him. Or he could pretend that he decided to vote Dick to stay, and now join Dick's alliance. And that's exactly what he does. And it was pretty smart, wasn't it?
Well, I think he kind of realized what was going on with the America's player votes. Like, they told him to give Jessica the silent treatment, and then they told him to get Dustin out, and you know, it just, I think it clicked in his head that he was with the group that people didn't like. He was with the nerd herd, so
right. He
kind of pulled away from that.
And Dustin, he wanted to go up on the block right next to Dick. He wanted to
it's because he loves Dick.
Yes, he wanted to be right there next to him as Dick
he
got voted
really
out and said, see, I was up against you, Dick, and they voted you out. But instead, here's what happens. If you listen closely, Dustin goes, interesting.
Well, guys, it's been very fun past several weeks getting to know every single one of you. And I hope that you guys make the decision to make the next 6 weeks even more fun than the first 6 weeks. So,
thank you, Dustin. By a vote of 4-2, Dustin... You are evicted from the Big Brother house.
He says, interesting.
You are so stunned right now.
Oh, so stunned. Absolutely.
Oh. Did you volunteer to go up on the block as a pawn, convinced Dick was leaving?
Absolutely.
So what do you think happened?
Is that a smart
Well,
move?
I think that Eric no. was the shiesty person he was, and he was the fourth vote against me.
Oh, Dustin, if you're seeing this, I pulled off the biggest coup in the history of this show. Ha ha. See ya.
See ya.
Love it.
So then Danielle wins HOH, and we'll see what happens this week. But the show's it's crazy. It's up and down every week. I really, this is what I thought was going to happen, Bill, that Amber was going to win HOH. And I was like, that's what's going to happen. She was even right there next to Danielle at the end. I was like, oh, she's going to win. And then, because they can't ever have people comfortable all week long. You know what I mean?
But especially this late in the game.
Yeah, but Danielle won, and she put up Amber and Jamaica. Is that a spoiler for anyone who hasn't seen it?
Well, too bad. So sad. She yeah. also won the power of veto, so the votes are staying the same.
Right. Awesome. Because I've already heard, has Eric kind of been like, you know, you could put Jen up there, couldn't you? You know.
Yeah, I think so.
Just kind of sneaking that up there. I think it's funny how basically Jen and Zach busted their asses to keep Dick back in the game. To keep Dick in the house. They really, I mean, Jen was going around telling stuff, putting doubt in Jessica's mind, like maybe Dustin's working with Dick. She's like, oh my God. And it made her doubt Dustin to put him up. So then it drives you nuts for the next week when they're back in power to go, Jen was lying all over the place. Yeah, we can't trust her. It's like, she did all this work to keep you in the house. And
you know what's crazy is that I think they think if they keep Dick in the house, they have a better chance of winning against him.
Right.
But I think they're sorely mistaken.
Right. I really think that that was their chance. They're screwed now. That was their chance to get him out. He's there.
Well, Danielle is probably the best player in the house. She is just – she's awesome.
Yeah, and I thought Jen was a gamer when she was on the line every week. But in the HOH competition, it even shows she goes, I put false, and she got it.
She's really dumb. Yeah. And not only is she dumb, she's awkward. If you watch the live feeds, when she goes into a room and she tries to conversate with people, it's just there's nothing there. There's no give and take. She's just
and
completely
vapid. And yet she's good at the game, though, too. Yeah, she's lasted this long.
And the thing with that stupid game, how many cards were on his head? They were like, it's like he was walking around saying stuff. It's like it should have been based on what they were saying, not what, you know, what they were wearing.
And you notice how bad everyone was at that competition because they didn't even get to the statue questions.
Like, well, everybody's sitting there paying attention to what they're saying. What did he say? What did he say?
They thought it was some kind of riddle. It might mean something, but it really just all had to do with the HOH competition. And
well, you know what's really funny about that is I saw all that live, and that little man, he kept getting it wrong. He kept saying a snitch in time saves nine. And they're like, snitch? What does this have to do with Harry Potter? And none of the people there knew what the hell they were saying or what they were doing.
It was just confusing the hell out of them.
Yeah, and they didn't show any of that.
When he said snitch, I thought he was talking about somebody who was tattling, you know, kind of going between people on the show, you know.
Well, basically, they second-guessed everything. It all had to do with the HOH competition.
Well, did you hear the latest rumor news is that Jen knows about Eric being America's player? She knows because at the beginning of the season, Eric left that envelope they give him on the couch after he left. And when Jen came in for her thing, she saw it, and it says, like, you know, what's on the front and Mr. America and all that. And now she goes around the house calling him Mr. America, and everyone wondered why. And it dripped down from the, from a production assistant that Jen knows. And that's the reason why in that one competition she gave up the $250,000 because she wouldn't have had to because she's keeping the secret.
Interesting. Now, last night she also said it was weird. She kind of – you never know what's going on with her. I think she's smarter than she lets on because there's too much that she holds back, or she'll say – she was talking to Dick and she goes, you know, I could just imagine I was walking to vote and, you know, what will Jen vote? She's had a really troublesome relationship with Dick. Will she vote him out of the house? And he goes, what? You heard that? And she goes, oh, no, I didn't hear it. I just imagined that's what she was saying. And I was like, what? Because that's pretty much exactly what she said.
Yeah, she heard it. Something was wrong. They probably let the audio open on that end or something.
And just the way she covered it up, it's just so weird. I don't know. This show's weird how...
Yeah,
because you know there's a lot of manipulation going on, and then they tell him, you can't tell anyone this.
You keep think it out. They're kind of leaking a little bit of kind of...
It's part of your... Because I remember early in the season, Danielle talking about, you know, she didn't have anything mean to say to anyone. They're like, didn't so-and-so piss you off when he did this? She's like, not really. And she was like, they're trying to coach me into saying something mean. And that way they have that sound bite.
Yeah, and then automatically they go to what the feed watchers call front of the house, where they just show this blue swirl with the Big Brother music. The people always leak stuff about the diary room being manipulative and trying to get them to vote certain ways or say certain things, and then they cut out so that the feed people don't hear it. But it just shows how unreal the show is.
Yeah.
That's your salvation, not mine.
Huh?
Yeah, that made no sense. What did he say? Something about her being a liar, and then she said, that's your salvation? You're a liar?
I don't know.
But she's an idiot.
Let's go ahead and talk about who wants to be a superhero. And I gotta say, this week really annoyed me. You know why? Because our eye candy's gone. We talked about it last week. Now we got Hygiena. I guess she's kind of hot, right, Steven?
Yeah, that double chin is sexy.
But first of all,
this double chin that sticks out.
They are coming down from the roof, and here's what happens. It's very creepy. It looks like Dr. Dark has broken into the lair.
We got serious trouble, guys.
The place was totally ransacked.
The safe's open.
The safe? Yeah, it's empty.
Our secret identities are gone.
Our secret identities.
Oh, no! I'm going to repeat everything everyone else says.
Stole the information about all of our secret identities.
Oh, my
God.
This
is ridiculous.
Oh, this is going to take a while to clean up.
My kryptonite would be a situation that I can't clean up.
Let's check with the others. Come on, Hygiena, we can clean later.
It was making my skin crawl just looking at it. Try not to touch too much. We can dust.
I'm going to make a list.
No.
They're going to dust for Chris?
I know.
Move anything, touch anything just yet. Even closing cabinet drawers. Leave things as they are.
No, okay, crime scene investigator. Yeah. You do know you're on a show, right? And
crime
prop guys who came in there. The best thing, I was talking to Steven about this. I love Whipsnap. She's like, I can't take this no more. This is too hard. My stuff, I feel violated. It's like an intern trying to earn credit came in here, open your bag, and put a shirt on your bed, and you feel violated.
Did they do psychiatric evaluations?
Dr. Dark, you won't get away with this. It's like there's not really a villain. It's an actor in a costume. The most shocking thing is what Dr. Dark did. Let's keep listening.
Charge. Sometimes I can't help myself.
Oh, no. The pencil. Now it's gone.
Oh, no.
His possession, his first pencil was gone. And that really sucked. I've done it. I've extracted Stan Lee's DNA from his very own pencil.
Huh? What?
Stan Lee used to jerk off his own creations.
What was he doing with that pencil?
Was there something sexual going on there?
What is his DNA all over that? First of all, it says the pencil he created all the superheroes with. What did he create, Spider-Man in the 50s or something? This stainless steel metal mechanical pencil?
His very old pencil.
It looks like a pen anyway. What the hell's going on?
There's something going on there. I think Stan Lee has a...
He extracted his DNA from his pencil.
Well, how else would he do that? There must be some sexual relationship
going on.
Good
Lord. Now, and then their whole... They have these way convoluted tasks where they have to go to City Walk again. They had a $50,000 check donation for insurance to some charity that the guy took along with their identities, and he's got a bag. He's walking on the City Walk, and they have to go confront the guy, only they can't in their costumes. They have to go in their secret, they got to go in regular clothes, so they need to borrow clothing from everyone. And I guess it was supposed to be funny. And at the same time, there's a lady who's lost her child. And it's like, I lost my daughter. Can you help me?
She also wears a really bad wig and sunglasses.
Yeah.
And
one thing I noticed is everybody...
That intern doesn't want to be recognized for the show.
Yeah. After everybody's
got... Her parents think she's working on ER.
Yeah. Have you guys noticed that after everyone's got their outfits and they're going to go get changed, she approaches them and says, oh my God, I need help. And they're like, okay. But with Basura, she's dealing with a guy who's about to give her pants, and she interrupts, and he's trying to hand her pants, and she's like, my daughter, my daughter. She goes, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, thank you for your pants. And she's, like, confusing her, and she didn't do that to anyone else, did she?
No, she didn't. She just approached them.
Right. And so,
not in the middle of anything.
That was kind of BS, I thought. And another stupid thing is Hygiena, she dropped her clothes and picked them up for a second, and they're like, you wasted valuable time cleaning up.
She wrapped them up in something.
Yeah, it's like, give me a break. After they get dressed, they have to get the stupid call from a cartoon lady telling them how they have to say this phrase to some guy. And one thing that I think...
What was it? I'm missing my ears. Can I have yours?
Right. And
genius.
Asked some lady, and she goes, okay, take them. I was like, never mind.
Yeah.
Do you remember last season, one of the final tasks, there was Fat Mama, Major Victory, and Feedback. And they had a thing on the City Walk where they had a race against time. Remember that? They had to do all these different things, interact with people. Major Victory beat both of them. I mean, he smoked them. And he got eliminated that same episode. Basically, it meant the whole task meant nothing.
Yeah.
Because he got eliminated, he was like, Major Victory, you just kind of seem silly, and that's not what I'm looking for. And he was just like, couldn't you have told me that on the first episode, and I could have adjusted? But no. So they did this whole task, and he puts them on the block, diffuser, and he's like, you're too aggressive. You know, you boss people around, you need to stop that. Basura, you're not very bossy. You're not very assertive. You know, it's like the opposite of what he just told the other chick.
Yeah.
Hygiena, you need to stop cleaning up so much. That shows weakness. You need to just persevere on. It's like all of his criticisms are just, I got to come up with a reason to eliminate somebody this week. I'm sorry. It's all bullshit. That's the way feels to me.
If her strength is to clean, then shouldn't she clean?
Yeah.
I don't understand why she shouldn't.
That's what I don't understand either. And another thing is Stan Lee's comic book creations, like Spider-Man, the reason it was so special and original is
because they're flawed characters.
They're flawed characters who have problems. Peter Parker had to deal with getting his ass kicked by bullies during the day. He couldn't fight back. The guy couldn't pay his rent. He couldn't hold down a job. You know, he's had problems keeping a girlfriend. He had to lie to everyone that he loved. And yet Stan Lee is criticizing Basura because, you know, you're not perfect. You're not, you know, perfect to say Jesus Christ. And I'm sorry, that's not what I'm looking for. It's like, you really want someone
he's
so...
Because he's not a character I created.
Look at Feedback for a second, the guy who he won. Would you read a comic book with Feedback? Is there anything flawed about him? Is there... I mean... I can understand I can understand there's a bad... Yeah, you got a point there. But they got a bad reality show. I understand that. But the basis that he's finding to eliminate people is so stupid. And it's funny you mention that about Feedback, Steven, because this new show, Mega Snake...
nice.
Feedback has a special guest role on Mega Snake, this bad made-for-sci-fi movie. And I'm starting to think, Bill, is that his big payoff for winning? He gets to be in this bad, tiny role in a bad snake movie. There's not going to be a Feedback movie. It's just going to be a movie called Mega Snake where he's in it for a bit.
Yeah.
Mega Snake.
So wouldn't you be competing in this going, you know what? If we win, we're not getting anything.
You get a 5-minute, say 5-minute max.
Is it? It's worth
walk
it.
On.
You're doing it for the comic book, right?
I don't know. Well, most of those people... have got to be actors.
Didn't you think Basura's comic book cover was the best one?
Yeah.
It was, because they made her boobs about 5 times bigger than they were.
Well, did you like Hygiena look like a skinny, beautiful girl?
Like, wow, that's a really pretty character. Who's that based on?
But I like he's talking to Whipsnap about, now Whipsnap, you seem to whine about everything and complain. She's like, I ain't got nobody. I ain't got nobody. I ain't got no family.
I cry. That's who I am.
It's like, did she have 5 o'clock shadow, too?
Mom, Useless, a bitch.
Do you remember the Parthenon won that thing, and he got to call to his partner and said, and he got to pick somebody else to call home. And I love Whipsnap's like, I ain't got nobody to call. You just call somebody, you know, pick somebody else. He's like, you're so noble, Whipsnap.
No, she's just
she doesn't have anyone.
So
that's why she's so freaking messed up. She's got no support system.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the show. It's not grounded in reality. I don't know why even I'm even going into it, but
because it's fun.
I love Parthenon's call. Like, oh, hello.
What are you guys? What are you doing?
I'm listening to some show tunes.
One thing they didn't show is his boyfriend is Joe from Big Brother.
My knees are healing nicely since you've been gone.
I love what he said about Parthenon too.
But other than that, what a jerk.
Yeah, he easily turns on the people he loves, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm. You lie.
Huh? I didn't lie. Now
he lies about his secret identity.
Right. Let's talk about Entourage. It had Anna Faris in the show, who I always thought her name was Anna Faris, but I guess it's Anna.
Anna.
And she looks weird. Did she get lip work done or something?
She had something done.
She was so cute in those scary movies. But they got weird stuff going on there. And
he's trying to get his new business going.
Yeah, his new management business.
And everybody's making fun of him because he's going about it in a kind of a weird way.
Yeah,
I say he's going about it in a normal way you would, but because he's already representing somebody who's famous.
Right.
And it's weird.
Right, and he got the end of the last episode, he got this kick-ass office with the other guys surrounding office.
Yeah, everybody's like, yeah, we guess we all need offices.
And so he's driving, he gets rear-ended by Anna Faris, and at first she thinks he's weird. I mean, I love when he goes to her house, and she's like, I don't really know you. And he goes, no, I represent Vince Chase. She goes, okay, come in. I was like, oh my God, you're that stupid.
Is that easy?
It's that easy to get onto your property? He ends up basically giving her advice about a movie, and then he becomes her manager by the end. First, he thinks he's going to go on a date with her. Then it turns out
she has a boyfriend.
And there was this whole subplot with the turtle and the pot. He went to go shopping. He picked up these chicks, and then he gets pulled over by the cops. It was just kind of silly. But there was the thing about Ari and his super hot wife, I think. Totally hot.
And total MILF.
She was I guess she was on Young and the Restless, and he doesn't want her to kiss this guy. I thought that stuff was pretty funny.
She looks so hot in this episode.
Yeah, and he offers her...
Oh, man, when she stripped down to bra and panties.
It's like, wow. And he's... I love where the Hispanic actor, he's like, I'll get you on Ugly Betty. If you don't kiss my wife, you'll be on Ugly Betty by the end of the...
You'll be making out with Ugly Betty.
Yeah, you'll be making out with Ugly Betty. And he won't kiss her, and they're like, what's the deal? And he goes, he's getting me on Ugly Betty. I thought that stuff was good. Other than that, I mean, it was just an okay episode, whatever, but...
Yeah, it wasn't very good, but it was worth it.
They've totally cut out Medellin from the show, it seems like. But is Billy going to be back this week? I don't know.
Oh, no, they're going to deal with that.
And it looks like Anna Faris is going to turn out to kind of be psycho, it looks like. Hard to represent, maybe.
Possibly.
Let's do the news!
Naked in the mud.
Just quiet down, will you please? I'm quiet. Quiet!
Oh, dear.
Man, I would not want her as a teacher.
All right, Bill, what do we got in the news this week?
All right, first story I want to do is it's amusing but kind of sad, but I can't help but feel for this little girl. In Florida, an 8-year-old girl who recently moved to Florida caused a panic when she tried to ride back home to Ohio on her bicycle out of fear of hurricanes. A sheriff's helicopter, search dogs, and neighbors found the girl after an hour-long search Wednesday night. It's amusing, but at the same time sad, Dellen Police Deputy Chief Randall Henderson said. According to the police report, Heather Snoke told investigators that she was headed back to Columbus, Ohio, because she was afraid of hurricanes and that was her home. that's mean. Heather was riding her bicycle in front of her home Wednesday. Mother Melissa Snoke, 37, told police. 20 minutes later, the girl's father, John Snoke, 41, came home and noticed Heather was gone. While the mother called police, John Snoke drove around the neighborhood looking for his daughter but did not find her. Dillon police arrived and began a search aided by tracking dogs and Volusia County Sheriff's helicopter. A homeless camp was also searched. No charges are pending, but there was no abuse, no neglect, and they found the little girl. But I just feel so bad for the little girl because, you know, when you're like 8 years old and your family picks up and moves from, you know, a landlocked state to somewhere where you see all this horrific news stories about hurricanes and all that, you know, that's just her parents probably should have talked to her about
that.
Yeah, it
affects you.
What part of Florida did she live in?
Dillon, Florida. So,
okay.
That must be somewhere, you know, it might not even be in a coastal area.
That's what I was kind of wondering, how coastal it was.
Yeah, it might not even be coastal. She just might know that, you know, because she saw in the news that there's hurricanes, so.
Or they did a hurricane drill at school or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably what they did.
We did tornado drills at school all the time. It kind of scared the hell out of you.
When I was 8 years old, my dad was going to get a job here in Ohio, actually, where I am now. And all I knew was that in Ohio there were tornadoes. And where we lived in Pennsylvania, there weren't because we were in, a mountainous region. So I was deathly afraid of moving to Ohio because of tornadoes.
Yeah, it's definitely...
And you don't really think, as a kid, you don't think about the odds of a tornado hitting you.
No, but I got to give it to the girl. Never in my life did I think I would run away, go back home on my bicycle. That's a ballsy girl.
She wanted to get the hell out of the Dodge.
Yeah. Next story is kind of falling back into cult news.
Ooh.
Yeah, we haven't had any cult news in a while.
Harlem, beware! The neighborhood The neighborhood long weary of gentrification may soon have to deal with the likes of Tom Cruise, John Travolta, and Kirstie Alley.
Oh.
The Church of Scientology, known for its celebrity devotees, is making a big push to expand its empire along 125th Street, purchasing three properties there last week, and planning major recruitment drive in the neighborhood. The Reverend John Carmichael, president of the church in New York, declined to give details about the purchase, but reports put the total sale price at $10.2 million. The three buildings that were purchased, 228 through 232 East, 125th Street, will house a main Scientology complex and a community center that will offer literacy programs and drug counseling.
An electropsychometer.
Man, they're big on that drug counseling, aren't they?
Oh, that Narnicon, that's like one of their major moneymakers.
Xenu.
Because they disguise it as some sort of self-help thing.
Right.
And it doesn't, you know, the Scientology is like the underlying, they pull you in and then they don't let you out.
Is it basically you detox by going, help me, locked in a room?
Vomiting.
I think they make you take. They make you take vitamins and sit in a sauna for 24 hours.
Like Tom Cruise gets Scientological.
What's crazy is they were talking about, they were going and interviewing people. Longtime business owner John Patane isn't so sure about this Scientology business. His business is being pushed out by the sale, and he said,
I don't like this Scientology business. Yuck, yuck, yuck.
He doesn't. He don't know if he can afford rent elsewhere in the neighborhood. They've been offering everybody on the block money. No one should try to change a neighborhood. Unfortunately, they have a lot of money and you can't stop them. So they're basically moving into this neighborhood. They buy a couple areas and then they go, you know what? We want more. So let's offer these people money that they don't have and say, hey, here's some extra money if you let us take your building and expand our empire.
Interesting. And hey, if you're on hard luck, you might go, yeah, okay.
Yeah, sure. Why not? I mean, I don't think these people know any better. It's not like Scientology is really that big in Harlem.
I'll go home and get your fucking shine box.
Oh.
In Tokyo, a Japanese biker failed to notice his leg had been severed below the knee when he hit a safety barrier and rode on for more than a mile, leaving a friend to pick up the missing limb.
Whoa.
Yeah, the 54-year-old. Go ahead and eat it.
No.
I'm not eating it. No.
Yeah. What is she talking about?
The 54-year-old office worker was out on his motorcycle with a group of friends in the city of Hamasatsu, west of Tokyo, on Monday when he was unable to negotiate a curve in the road and bumped into the central barrier. He felt excruciating pain but did not notice that his right leg was missing until he stopped at the next junction.
That's not a very...
You gotta put your leg down.
Yeah. He fell over.
Ow! Holy shit!
Is that guy very alert or what? Is he just like, oh, hey, where did it fall off at?
If I feel pain, I'm gonna look down, you know.
Did he notice his foot wasn't touching the pedal anymore?
You probably get that phantom feel. You know, they always talk about that.
That would be crazy if he was still pedaling with it, like a force field.
Wow. Some sort of like mind over matter Jedi pedaling.
Not being used to my ability.
I thought he was on a bicycle.
Motorcycle.
Oh,
motorcycle.
Sorry. Should have paid more attention.
Yeah.
Oh, hey. Hey, Steven.
Hey, Steven.
Three people have been... three young men in northern Dutch town of Damwad were charged with Damwads.
The last city was called Homicide. What? This is Damwad.
Yeah, and this is Damwad. Were charged with damaging property after adding maggots to supermarket meat that was later sold to a customer.
Ah.
The shopkeeper
found... Watch out for snakes!
No maggots.
No maggots. The shopkeeper found 40 maggots after the customer complained.
He counted them? Oh, weird!
Yeah. He identified the men aged between 18 and 21 on a surveillance tape as they put the insect larvae into the packaged meat. Only one package of the maggot-infested meat was sold. The suspects told police that they had played a prank with bait left over from fishing. The rest of the meat in the store was destroyed.
Are these guys really bored? A prank? Are you serious?
Are maggots really good for fishing?
I guess so. What?
Maggots, Michael. You're eating maggots.
Last week, we mentioned a story about a couple trying to name their baby For Real.
Yeah.
Well, this week we have a Chinese couple trying to name their baby At, as in Shift 2. The sign, you know, like...
The At symbol.
So, yeah, the At symbol.
Oh, that's cool. Cool little... The A with the swoosh around.
Screw his small dude, man.
His blog on at com.
Yeah, he'd have a hard time getting an email, wouldn't he?
That would suck. A Chinese couple tried to name their baby At, claiming the character used in the email addresses echoed their love for the child. What? The unusual name stands out especially in Chinese, which has no alphabet and instead uses tens of thousands of multi-stroke characters.
He's nice guy. Let's do it.
The whole world uses it to write email, and translated into Chinese, it means love him. The father explained, according to the deputy chief of the state language commission, Li Yuming.
Is he making this up?
I guess not. That, while At is familiar to Chinese email users, they often use the English word at to sound it out, which drawn out with a T sounds something like I ta or love him to Mandarin speakers. So, yeah, I guess they're just trying to be clever. Or
that's your salvation, not mine.
I mean, why not just name him Aita instead of At, the symbol? Stop being an asshole. I mean, seriously, it's so stupid.
I'll name my kid Control-Shift-Delete.
Control-Shift-Control-Alt-Delete.
Nice. Control-Alt-Delete.
Control-Shift-Delete ain't going to do anything for you. Sorry.
I'm not looking at a keyboard.
In Johannesburg, a South African man shot 3 weeks ago was told to walk the pain off.
Whoa.
And is still trying to persuade hospitals to remove the bullets lodged in his side. Three Johannesburg hospitals...
Ow!
Walk it off. What's wrong with you? Doesn't hurt. You don't know pain. three Johannesburg hospitals refused to remove the bullet for Philip Machane, 38, who was shot during a burglary at the property of South Africa's ambassador to the United Nations. The bullet passed through his elbow and entered his body just above the hip, missed his vital organs, and stopped beneath the skin on the opposite side of his body. Holy crap.
Jeez.
Machane told the paper he was turned away by one private hospital because he could not afford the bills, while a public hospital took x-rays and kept him in for observation before patching him up and sending him home with painkillers. When he returned, a doctor told him to walk the pain off. Doctors at a third hospital said it could not remove the bullets because Machane had started treatment elsewhere. I want my life back. I need to work, and all I can ask is for them to help me, Machane told the newspaper.
What is that? You've already started treatment somewhere else. Sorry, you gotta go.
I'm sorry, this is a pre-existing condition. So I guess South Africa is battling some of the highest rates of violent crime in the world. And its underfunded public hospitals struggle to treat all those who need health care. So that's why they told him to walk it off.
Wow. It's a pretty crappy health system there, isn't it?
Yeah, sounds like
bullet, that bullet will fester up in a couple of weeks, and you can just, you know, pop it out yourself. Yeah.
Okay, that's really gross. That is disgusting.
You want a piece of me?
Wow. A Dutch scuba diver became the surprise catch of the day for a 13-year-old boy in the Netherlands when his hook got caught in the man's lip.
Ooh, damn. Yes.
I heard a sound on my head, and immediately I felt a jerk on my lip, Wim Van Helsing said, who had been Van Helsing? Who had been swimming in the North Sea, was quoted as saying by the Dutch newspaper Telegraph. The Daily ran a picture of the diver with the hook embedded in his lower lip. The diver had been swimming close to the shore near the southern Dutch town of Zierikzee.
And besides, doctor, I can't resist worms.
Yeah, a doctor managed to free him from the hook. That's like kind of like that story of the guy that got picked up by the water plane to put out fires in the forest. The diver got picked up and then dropped in a fire. I don't know. I think it's an urban legend.
That's an urban legend, yeah.
This guy got a hook in his lip.
Jesus Christ.
That's kind of like a one in a million shot. That kid should play the lottery, maybe. you got to love those crazy Japanese. They've come up with self-cooling clothes.
Ooh. Just like Back to the Future 2.
Yes. Except that was self-drying.
Oh, damn it.
Damn it.
Yeah. Those are self-heating.
But still, it would be cooling sensation, wouldn't it?
I guess, maybe. I assume. Self-cooling clothes may seem like stuff of the science, but science fiction, but for one Japanese company, they're not only good business, but a way to help the environment. Sure, in fact, it's made by Kuchu Fuku.
Huh?
Yeah, literally air-conditioned. They keep the wearer comfortable even in sweltering heat using 1/50th of the energy of a small air conditioner. Until now, air conditioning implied cooling the entire room. Now we can cool just the body. Two small fans sewn into the back of each garment, powered by a pocket-sized rechargeable battery pack, circulate air across the wearer's skin, evaporating perspiration and keeping temperatures down.
Wow!
You know what? I need some of this shit for here in Texas.
Especially whenever you're cutting grass and suffer from heat stroke.
Oh, yeah.
I need this.
I'm just riding my motorcycle.
I want this now. Has the technology reached our coast yet?
I don't think.
Our shores?
We'll see. You know, maybe you could just import them.
Yeah, probably.
Drawing the line on the insanity.
Order them
online. Self-cooling clothes come in 10 styles and a variety of colors, all priced at $96 each and sold on the internet and at limited retailers.
But, you know, I'm a big dude. Those Asians are tiny.
Yeah, they are tiny. Tiny Asian. The company has sold about 5,000...
I painted
5,
with a little face and I painted the eyebrow.
The company sold about 5,500 of the garments since they went on sale 3 years ago, mostly to factory workers. But however cool the clothes, they seem unlikely to catch on anytime soon because the fans puff out the garments with air. They give wearers a deceptively portly look. My daughter won't wear them because the shape is no good, the creator admitted.
Huh.
It's a conspiracy.
Well, look how fat that girl is. No, she's wearing air conditioning clothes.
You know, construction worker, you know, warehouse workers, those are perfect because who cares, you know?
Yours just keep getting dirtier.
And that's news for this week.
All right, Bill, thanks for doing the news this week.
You're welcome.
Awesome job.
Poor misguided freak.
Huh? Thank
you. I take that as a compliment.
All right, Bill, you ready to do some DVDs?
Let's do them. Ow!
Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs.
DVDs, DVDs. DVDs, HD, Blu-ray, it's the definition. DVDs.
Oh, hell yeah, baby, the DVDs.
Britney Spears is a recreational lesbian.
Huh? What does that have to do with anything?
Yeah, but Regis would be surprised how many girls are, including his daughters, I'm sure.
Whoa.
Hey, I only speak the truth.
All right, Bill, what DVDs we got this week?
All right, DVDs for August 21st, 2007, starting out with Zoe Cassavetes' first film called Broken English, starring
I've been
Parker
scrubbing
Posey.
Him real hard.
Parker Posey plays a 30-something Manhattanite plugging away at her job in a downtown hotel. She can't help but wonder what it is she has to do to find a relationship. So I guess it's her on first dates, and she meets some French guy, and then she really likes him, but he speaks broken English. Haha, the title. No, broken English, not Japanese.
Oh.
I've always found Parker Posey attractive for some reason. She looks like...
Sometimes, and sometimes she annoys me.
Oh, yes, yeah, sometimes she's incredibly annoying.
Like her role in Superman Returns? Jesus.
Oh, holy crap. Next DVD is Dexter, the first season.
It's not
amazing.
It's not funny.
I'm sorry.
No, it's not funny.
It's funny, Jason.
The amazing first season of Dexter. I just really enjoyed this show.
Incredible, disturbing show. It's so well done.
Really dark, funny.
And I've received disturbing email in my inbox. It said, it was from Bill. It said, look at this. Check this out, Jason. And it's basically a news clip where it talks about this serial killer killing people around my age. And it says that I'm next. It's very disturbing.
Yeah, that was a great website.
That's a cool promotion for Dexter. You could send people this clip. And Andy from the Hollywood Saloon sent me one, and it said, "You will never make fun of me on Nowhere in Mulberry again." That's what the serial killer wrote. I was like, oh my God. That's funny stuff.
Next DVD is a movie that came and went really fast, The X. With Zach Braff, Jason Bateman, and Amanda Peet.
Oh, wow. That didn't look good.
Mm-mm. No, it looked absolutely horrible. But I love the cover, how they use it. It says, "Outrageously funny from Bill Broglie, Westwood One." It's like, oh, that's...
That's the only guy who liked it, huh?
Yeah, that's who you have to dig up.
That's a lovely reaction.
This movie looked incredibly painfully bad.
Yeah. Just like a mistake from the word go.
Next DVD is one of my favorite films. It's House of Games, written and directed by David Mamet.
Fantastic film.
Yeah, and it's I own the original release from MGM, but this is a Criterion Collection release.
Nice.
So it's
overpriced.
No, well, yeah, but also... But also, it's got a commentary with David Mamet and Ricky Jay, which just...
Ricky Jay's awesome in that.
That thing, just the even thought of that audio commentary is, like, blowing my mind.
Yeah, I would. That's a must-listen commentary, definitely. Movie's really great. I know it's... not many people have probably heard of it. I've only seen it on cable, and I thought it was a great film.
I haven't seen it.
Everyone needs to check it out. It's about con artists.
Yeah. It's a therapist and a card-playing con artist, and it's just a really incredible character study.
Is that Joe Mantegna in it?
Yeah, that's Joe Mantegna, and I think it's Lindsay Krause, but it's just a terrific movie. It's one of my all-time favorites.
Seek it out, damn it.
Yeah. And this, I already have this on order. I cannot wait to get it because I just want to listen to that commentary. Next DVD is House Season 3. I actually own Season 1 and 2, and I have yet to watch either of them. So I'll probably wait till I watch them to decide to buy this one.
I love the show. It's a fun show.
Right by the time you're done watching that, the price will go down.
Yeah. Hugh Laurie is just great on the show.
Well, you know what's crazy for me is I have a hard time seeing Hugh Laurie in this kind of character because I watched all those...
Blackadders.
Fry and Laurie. Him and Hugh Laurie and Stephen Fry had like a sketch show for a long, long time. And not for a long, long time, but they had one anyways. And I'm used to seeing those, and like he was on Blackadder and all. So it's kind of weird for me. It's especially weird for me to see him with an American accent.
Yeah.
Because I'm just not used to
it. He's excellent on the show. House is a great show. That's all I got to say about it.
All right, next DVD is I Pity the Fool, Season 1.
Yes! Mr. T, baby!
The TV Land show. What cracks me up is this is an entire season. It's $9 and 126 minutes. So
it's a series of vignettes or something?
Yeah. It's a $10... I think this is the cheapest season set for a show ever. $9.
It's like 2 hours
long. How long is the season?
It's 2 hours long. So what? Is it like a Robot Chicken where it's 15 minutes
yeah,
long?
I guess
at the time?
So. It's about as good as the BR for
probably about
show.
As long as you could stand watching it for 15 minutes at a time.
Just quiet down, will you please? I'm quiet. Quiet!
I was on Golden Girls, quiet!
Do you have any idea who I am?
I know Estelle Getty!
The next DVD is a really, really good film. I saw a pre-screener, an Academy screener for it called The Lives of Others.
That's
a
great
German
thing.
Film about the... before the collapse of the Berlin Wall, East Germany was like the most closely monitored place by the secret police, and it like follows this guy who is the one that follows them, and it's about like corruption and it's just an amazing film. I don't want to get too deep into it, but it's probably one of the best political thrillers that I have ever seen. So if you got to put it on your Netflix queue, everyone that likes like thrillers, political films, it's called The Lives of Others.
That's a great thing.
It really is. I cannot recommend this movie enough. Next DVD is Perfect Stranger with
Balky,
yes, with Bronson Pinchot and Larry. No, this is the Bruce Willis Halle Berry film.
Oh, wow, that looked bad.
Yeah.
I just remember on the trailer, Bruce Willis is on an instant messenger, and Halle Berry is, and he's like, do you like to watch or something? She's like, sometimes, and he looks intrigued, and they're like on friggin' MSN instant messenger talking sexy. What?
To catch a predator?
What? Yeah, it's like, what? Just looked really bad.
This thing, I think it got really horrible.
Does Halle Berry need to hire new management or what? Christ.
Yeah. I think Bruce Willis needs to hire new management.
Jesus.
What's really funny is that on the cover it says, one of the most satisfying films Halle Berry has ever made.
What does that even mean?
Yeah.
I've got an issue here. I've got an issue.
I mean, is she nude through the whole thing?
I was very satisfied after making this movie.
I think it's satisfyingly awful.
It's a crock of shit.
That was really bad. So you know what? That was satisfying.
Danger, danger! My name is Anakin. My shitty acting is ruining Saga.
Yeah, what's shocking for me is that she won the Oscar for Monsters Ball, and then just
all
nothing.
Downhill from there.
Next DVD is something really important. It's R. Kelly, Trapped in the Closet, chapters 13 through 22.
What the hell?
Yes.
If anybody's a fan of chapters 1 through 12...
Is this some kind of Scientology video they make you sit and watch?
You know what? I bet you would feel brainwashed after you watched this gigantic piece of shit.
It'd be asinine to think otherwise.
it's so funny because it started out as like serious, and then it got so ridiculous that you couldn't help but laugh your ass off at it.
Stay out of my closet.
Yeah.
R. Kelly, fan, stay out.
Yeah, you're gonna. Yeah, keep peeing on young girls.
Huh?
Let me see. Show you what is that? Ta-da!
You know, I have been. I'm not sure. Is RoboCop on any of the high def formats yet?
Don't believe so.
Well, see, they're releasing a 20th anniversary collector's edition in a steel book. Ooh. Of RoboCop. And it looks really friggin' cool. I think I own like two different versions. I own the Criterion Collection RoboCop, which was not anamorphic, and I own the MGM RoboCop, and I'll probably end up owning this one too, only because of my love of RoboCop and Ed 209.
I almost
a great film.
I almost
love
bought
RoboCop.
It last week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was gonna buy one of the RoboCops, the Criterion.
I mean,
yeah. Well, the Criterion is now. Really good, but it's not anamorphic. So,
RoboCop's such a great film. Seriously.
Yeah, it is. It was so ahead of its time. And
that are alive, you are coming with me.
People didn't understand the film. They thought it was like some sort of crazy sci-fi.
Well, it's because it's got such a dark sense of humor. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It was one of those films, the first time I watched it, the violence is so shocking because it's so over-the-top violent. But it's like you get it, and it's like, wow, this movie's just excellent.
Come quietly or there will be trouble.
I was walking through the DVD sections. I was like, I don't have this yet, you know. Mm-hmm. Why don't I?
Yeah, well, I'm just waiting
for it. The crazy thing about RoboCop is it's got such a dark center in such a light exterior that people don't know what to make of it, like the and it's Verhoeven, so there's always that subtext of control and
it's his best
manipulation
film.
Yeah, it really is. It's such an incredible film. There's so much more to it than what people think it is,
and they were, no matter how many sequels they made of that, they couldn't repeat what was great about the first one.
No, and, you know, but it came close with two, with Nuke. Nuke was really, really...
It's a serious drug. You're addicted after
Frank
one hit.
Frank Miller. What the f*** happened to Frank Miller with that one?
Hey, he took a job. It was a paying gig, right?
Oh, my God.
Hey, the second one's more entertaining than the third one, with Otomo the Ninja. Yikes. What the hell?
The third one was just insane. That was the one where he flew.
You know what sucked? Is the writers, Ed Neumeier and another guy wrote the first one.
Michael Miner.
Yeah, they were all set to write RoboCop 2, but they were in such a hurry to get production underway for another RoboCop that they were taking too long and they cut them out. And that's one thing that they still do in Hollywood. They rush a sequel out so fast if it's successful, and the original creators get left out in the cold because they can't do it fast enough. They want to do it in a quality way and have something really special and cool. They're like, no. Let's hire somebody else. And they hired Frank Miller to write the screenplay to the second one. But they still do that now. A movie is a hit, and all of a sudden the original guys are pushed out because they can't do it fast enough for the people in Hollywood who want it out instantly. We want it next summer.
Yeah, it took them years to write the first one. And...
Yeah, it's like... Come on, just let them chill out for a bit.
This new edition has a commentary with Verhoeven, Ed Neumeier, and the executive producer, John Davison. Not John Davidson, but John Davison.
Right, John Davison. He's the guy who got Frank Miller on board.
It does not compute.
I still am, but at the time, RoboCop, I was obsessed with that movie. I just loved it.
What's really cool is that they have a storyboard commentary with Phil Tippett, the animator from the film.
Right, so that, Ed 209.
Yeah, so that would be cool.
That's what I love about that old-time stop-motion photography. It's his own character. Phil Tippett
really
did Ed 209. He did the AT-ATs in Empire Strikes Back. And he adds his own personality to the way they move and everything.
I like when at the end when the Ed 209 dies in the little toad.
Yeah, that was the best.
Remember he can't go down the stairs and the thing gets angry and he cries like a baby or whatever? That was weird.
That was the best touch on that for this big violent thing that just blows people away. To like be so unsure about its footing
and then can't walk downstairs.
And it was just so funny to see the the dynamic of the big evil thing turn into this childlike creature.
And then throwing a tantrum when it falls down and hits that lower level.
And don't forget about all the goofy commercials and stuff.
Oh yeah, like the SPF 3000.
I'd buy that for a dollar. That running joke through the whole movie. It's like, what the hell is this? Yeah. It's this commercial that comes on, and whatever character sees it thinks it's like the funniest thing they've ever seen.
I love Red from Red Foreman, obviously from the
Clarence
70s.
Boniger.
Clarence Boniger.
Great villain. All right, move on.
He's quite possibly one of the best film villains ever.
Oh, he's an evil bastard.
And, it's so funny to see the alumni from RoboCop that have shown up in 24.
Yeah.
They talked about it before, but they all have.
Can I say this to the 24 producers now? Could we get Clarence Boddicker in the next season of 24 as a villain? Well, that would be awesome.
Last DVD and most important DVD, Serenity Collector's Edition.
Yes, thank you, God.
Is it in a firefly-shaped box?
Hallelujah.
Been waiting for so long. A deleted scenes commentary with Josh Whedon. Extended scenes, outtakes, Take a Walk on Serenity, the Green Clan, Joss Whedon intro, We'll Have a Fruity Odie Good Time documentary, feature commentary with Whedon, Glau and Ron Glass, feature commentary with just the director. Josh Whedon.
Now, is it too much for me to assume if this sells well, we could very well have a Serenity 2?
You know what? I think you're 100% right.
It could be straight to video.
Yes.
No, I think they're pushing for a theatrical release.
Yeah, that's what they want.
So, who knows what's going to happen with it.
Oh, yeah. Firefly.
All I know is that,
I don't care. I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me.
Let's all just sing along.
Take me out to the black.
I mean, I gotta have another Serenity, Bill. They didn't tell the story. They didn't finish. They're not done yet.
Finish your sentence.
We gotta know what happens.
We found out who the Reavers were.
Yeah, they created the Reavers. They didn't just happen. We got to know who those twin guys are that they go to see in that bar.
They didn't see the blackness of space and go crazy. They were created crazy.
Right. And, for when they go to that bar on that planet and they meet up with the twin gangster guys, did that set seem a little lacking to you guys, like maybe from a bad TV show?
It looked like it was out of Total Recall.
Yeah, it's just a bad...
I thought they were going to see Quato.
Ah, yes. Good. It all comes back to Quato, doesn't it?
We love Quato.
It does. Quato controls every... In fact, Quato was the original Mr. Universe.
You know what? If you want to see something more entertaining than Serenity or Firefly, look up the Quato video on YouTube where he sings Chocolate Rain. It's awesome.
Let rain...
Seriously, it'll be the best moment you've ever had in your life. Quato singing Chocolate Rain. It's genius.
Yeah, I sent you that the other day.
I was like, what the hell?
Quato.
Somebody saw Chocolate Rain and they were like, you know what? Quato should be singing that song. That looks like he'd really get into that.
Chocolate Rain.
Quato is such an unforgettable pop culture icon.
I need to find out if Tay Zonday did the voice to Anakin in the recut Phantom Menace. I've got to know.
You know what? We need to email him and see if he will redo the entire film.
Tay Zonday is Anakin!
We could release that as like
Chopasa.
Like a fan edit on BitTorrent or something.
I so want that.
I'm going to email him. I think that would be just about the best thing ever.
And
ending on that note.
Yes.
For this week.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs this week. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it.
It was awesome.
It was. Thank you for recognizing that.
Yes.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And see.
Everybody, that was episode 89 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you for listening very much. If you'd like to leave us some voicemail, call 1206-202-3491. Leave us an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to go to nowhereinmulberry.com and you'll find links to every single show we've ever done and to our forum located on the Hollywood Saloon Forum, where we hang out with friends and talk about brown coats and laptop desks that we will never have.
And Quato.
Yes. And
we,
you know
we
what?
We may just have to go out and buy one. And
now, seriously, guys, you know, we didn't win, but I'm going to tell you right now, thank you so much for voting. There were a lot of people that voted daily for us. We appreciate it so much. But, Steven, don't you seriously appreciate everyone who did it, even though we didn't win?
I did it.
You think yourself, Steven, but I'm saying everyone who...
Steven does that every day of his life.
Steven, you appreciate it. You appreciate yourself. That's good. You know, you see
well,
the
I'm
best
saying
in yourself.
It's kind of a...
You learn that through Scientology, right?
Yes.
But what I'm trying to say is thank everyone for voting. It wasn't all for naught because we still appreciate it. You got us nominated in the first place. You showed us how much you love us. Am I right, Bill?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's your salvation, not mine.
Exactly. It's your salvation, not mine.
And I do thank everyone. Yes.
Yes, Stephen, you appreciate it, right? Okay. Huh? Hmm? What's happening? Hmm? Yes.
It's falling apart.
Well, guys, we had another show without Vanessa. How did that happen?
She didn't
just
call.
Just lucky?
Where is Vanessa?
We're so lucky.
Hey! Now, before we go, guys, Bill, I wanted to ask you about this because I didn't want to just assume this or you, Steven, but on Talk Radio X this week, a show called The Live Test Show, they're going to be on vacation for 2 weeks and they need a filler show to take their slot. And I was thinking maybe this would be some practice for our show. Maybe we'd fill a couple of nights this week, maybe Thursday and Friday, and do an hour-long show Thursday and Friday. And what do you guys think? Should we do it?
Hell, we're total filler.
Yeah.
Let's do it. You know?
I can do it Friday night.
You can do it Friday, sure. Steven, Bill, and I on Thursday. Maybe we could have Andy on. Well, here's what we'll do. If we're going to indeed do this, check out our forums, and I'd love for you to listen to us live. And because eventually what we want to do with Nowhere in Mulberry is have a live show where people could call in, et cetera, et cetera. So it'd be a landmark scene.
You can see the train wreck happening.
And before we go, also remember, just check in our form and we'll make an announcement about it. And before we go, you must know this.
Britney Spears is a recreational lesbian.
Yes, exactly. All right, everybody, have a good one. Laters. Huh? Wrong song. All right, everybody.
I was ready to do the DVDs.
Foggy, what the hell's wrong with you? He's busy watching friggin' Beer Fest in the background. All right, everybody, have a good one. Have a good one, Steven. I meant that from the bottom of my heart. You too, girl.
You too, guys.
It's great, man.
Salvation, not mine.
Quiet!
Now this is podcasting.